Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 466.
This week on the podcast, life lesson. Never go with a billionaire to a previously unexplored location.
Plus, Google Maps is now featuring troop movements in preparation for World War III.
And more of Florida is considering a run for president.
Plus, George Santos's dad is finally charged with exerting moral control over his son.
And no labels will violate our tax laws to save America from itself.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey, y'all, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com. Just your friendly material scientists here to talk about the physics of submarines with you for an hour.
I know. And also, to remind you, because we love to do this when we're right about something, that you heard it here first when we were talking about the orcas, there's just things that we don't need to be doing in the ocean. Now, certainly this is a notably stupid thing that, like, I think we all could have probably agreed that we didn't need to be doing in the ocean.
Yeah.
But a lot of memes of late about things happening in the ocean that maybe we just don't need to be involved in. And I would like to say that you heard that on this podcast months ago.
That's right. And the orca attacks are only spreading. So if you thought, oh, I'm safe because I'm not near the site of the original rogue orca.
Right.
Just know that orca attacks are now, they communicate, they talk. Orcas know how
right.
to talk.
And we're in favor of those, by the way. We just don't, you know, I mean, that's why we said we need to stay out of the ocean, is because we just need to, the orcas have got it.
Handled. Hashtag
we're in solidarity
orcas
with the
have
orcas.
Got it. Right.
Yeah.
Orca solidarity. But yeah, I think that one thing that I've learned, I'm a person who has notably been pretty clear about my lack of interest in going into space.
Sure.
There's a lot of people who I think have like a vague interest in like space as a concept and like feel like frontiers beyond our galaxy or like of interest to them and whatnot. And I think we all know that I don't even like to get into airplanes. So like, certainly I don't want to get into an airplane that skyrockets out of the atmosphere. And then
I was going to say, you're not going to get on some sort of weird hot air balloon to the stratosphere to have a Michelin star restaurant? Because that's a new thing apparently that rich people are about to start doing.
Well, I hope that we're just punking them to get them out of the atmosphere, because I feel like one thing that makes going to space, I think, less appealing as a casual traveler is that being that I'm not a member, I don't work for NASA, I'm not an astronaut. My options for going into space were largely like going to, I mean, this is not an option I personally had, but like regular people go to space with like Jeff Bezos's. And I think one thing that was notable about this ocean business, this submersible that has now been imploded at the Titanic, is that those were also people that had elected to go to a place no one should go with billionaires, which is the last people you should be following into. They have no common sense. That is the last group of people that you should follow down into a 12,000 foot shipwreck. And I looked up how deep normal submarines go, because I've never thought much about submarines, right? Like, they're military things. I don't like, who cares what's going on with submarines? Not me. I'm not a military strategist.
No.
I'm about to obviously become one in the next segment.
Because
we're going to be talking about Russia. But but I looked up, I sent a thing to Brent earlier this week where I was like, it was a TikTok video with a girl who was like, if you, the most shocking thing I've learned from this whole submersible situation is the ocean is only like 5 miles deep. And if you had asked me, I would have thought it was like 1500 miles deep.
On
and I totally
average,
agree.
On average, 2.3 miles.
Yeah,
deep.
I mean, that's ridiculous. You can walk 2.3 miles in under
an hour. Yeah, because I looked this up after you told me, because I assumed that you were lying to me.
Obviously. That's,
everybody
what are you
who tells
that?
I had the same conversation with Jeremy too, where I told him that, and then he had to fact check me in real time.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Because he assumed that I was also lying to him.
Of course. Yeah. I would have guessed that the ocean was thousands of miles deep. I don't even know. Do I really understand how long a mile is? Not really. But that wouldn't have stopped me from assuming it was like infinitesimally deep. Like it's like space in my mind. Like the ocean just goes down forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking to myself, how deep could the Titanic really be? Because I knew that they were going down about 12,000 feet in this submersible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that sounds, I mean, once we're using numbers like that, like, I don't know what any of it means. So I was like, I'll look up how deep regular submarines go. Do you want to know how regular military submarines, how deep they
Please
go?
Please tell me, because you didn't, I haven't heard this information yet.
It's like 1,000 feet.
Oh.
This submersible was like 12 times deeper than normal submarines are made to go. And as a material scientist, I can now be horrified along with the rest of us that it was only made of carbon fiber, a material I never really thought much about until this week.
Which they knew they shouldn't have been using, by the way. This was one of the things that they knew that they were like cheating on.
Yeah. No, I mean, so much of this screams billionaire idiocy that I can't even, and there were all of those people, there was a lot of back and forth on the internet about whether we should feel bad about the individual lives versus
we can hold two thoughts in our head at the same time.
Yeah.
I think there were a lot of people who were sort of offended at the memes, and it's like, I can think this meme is funny and be sad that there was death involved.
I can also know that as a person who doesn't have billions of dollars, you could not pay me to go 12,000 feet below the ocean floor. Like, I can also know that people that we congratulate for being so smart about everything, business, money, stature, are also people who I would not travel into a life or death situation with. And that, I think, is a funny quandary we've all found ourselves in this week, is having to think through how dumb billionaires might be.
Yeah.
Because this is also a thing that no one had to do.
It's a thing that no one
has ever
had
to get into a weird renegade fake submarine and go down to see the Titanic on a TV screen. You know where I have seen footage of the Titanic on a TV screen is in my own living room, where it is also available via drone footage that no one had to die making. So in any case, it's been a very eat the rich forward week, which I think is a really inspiring way to go into the week of Pride here in New York.
Yes, New York Pride this week. I was watching it on TV this morning.
Why? What was on
They were doing like a Pride. ABC7, the local here, was like doing like a Pride around America, which was kind of interesting because it's New York, Chicago, and San Francisco Pride this weekend. And I was kind of like, why is it also not LA Pride?
LA Pride.
I mean, we did it already, but it was odd to me that it was like the major cities' prides were this weekend.
I have often wondered why LA Pride is at a different time than any like normal pride in any other big city.
And
like,
I guess probably I saw a lot of LA organizations like at the San Francisco one. So maybe it literally has just been worked out amongst the California cities potentially. Like LA Cheer was up there and like a few other things that like were like, you know, just random LA gay organizations that are like LA specific were up there. So
feel that there are enough gay people in California to celebrate two prides on this
Well,
weekend.
I think there probably are. I will say, and it may have just been where the vantage points for the camera were or whatever, although I know San Francisco Pride is insane. I have been to it. It looked the most impressive by leaps and bounds than both of the others, including New York City. And I'm not saying that it is, but I mean, like, certainly, like, on television,
sure
it was, it probably is. Yeah.
The New York Pride is also, I was walking back from Midtown today and ran into a lot of drag queens as you do on Pride, but also just ran into like 1 trillion people in like matching corporate t-shirts. That's like, you know, Avon celebrates Pride, HRC celebrates Pride, L'Oreal celebrates Pride. Like, and I was like, I don't need to be at an event where L'Oreal's staff is wearing matching t-shirts to advertise L'Oreal to me to, I don't know, indicate that gay people work at L'Oreal. That's not news. I don't need them to advertise that to me. That's not important.
I know.
Important information. But so I feel a little bit like if you are sort of, if you're looking at Pride from the outside, a lot of what you're seeing is just corporate Pride stuff anyway. And it's like, who really, like, how impressive can a parade be if it's just like the L'Oreal float? Like,
I know.
That's not, I like San Francisco because sometimes they have anti-Pride prides. They have
they
like
do. The year that I marched with Equality California, we had to stop the whole route because people who I think maybe were mad at the police, I can't remember that tracks certainly, but like laid down in the middle of Pride, or maybe they were mad at some politician that was in it or something. Like, who can
you
know
had, like,
in San Francisco?
An extra
but like
protest of the protest of March of
yeah,
that
it was
is
very
Pride.
Exciting. Yeah,
yeah,
and not by conservatives, but by people who are not
gay protesters. Not,
right, exactly.
You got act upted.
Yeah, we did.
San
yeah,
Francisco,
it was great.
Pride.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So, in any case, as I'm sure you know, Is there a segue of speaking of marches? Because I was following the entire Russian coup situation on Google Maps.
I know.
There has also been some exciting foreign policy news. And well, listen, though we have become lay experts in Russian military policy, that's not really what this podcast is about. We're not going to spend a huge amount of time talking about what
No.
the details of this bizarre almost coup attempt in Russia were.
I know.
I feel like there were a
Yeah,
few
as I was
notable things
pulling
about
notes
it,
for
though.
this podcast, I opened an article that was just sort of like a timeline of the events that led to the, and I stared at it for like less than a millisecond, and I was like, we're not doing that today. It's not today.
No, well, and you don't care about the timeline so much as I cared about. I thought it was fascinating that the road closures on Google Maps roughly tracked where the coup force, the
That
mercenary
was
forces were
interesting.
headed. So
Yes.
you could watch in real time as they marched towards Moscow. I was kind of sad
Yeah.
they didn't get there because I was kind of like invested in the plot of the Google Maps version of this. Also, I feel like my overall take is just that I understand even less about power in Russia now than I did before when I couldn't figure out why Vladimir Putin has any authority to do anything as a person who invariably makes like the worst decisions all the time.
Yeah.
And specifically, like, I don't understand what the guy who, you know, the guy who was carrying out the coup is like
Oh
a
yeah.
mercenary, you
Right.
know,
He's got his
mercenary
own army of
contractor.
25,000 people or something like
Yeah,
that. And I
I mean,
know that he's like that is used
he
by
fights,
the Russian military, like as, you
right.
know,
And
a
he fights wars in
paramilitary, but
Africa.
like
He's making like $1 zillion, like basically causing wars in Africa and stuff like that. So, you know, he's up to whatever evil mercenary things a mercenary army contractor would be up to. I just like, this is like if Blackwater was like, we're in charge of the government now. Like, I don't, what's the goal of him being in charge of Russia?
That doesn't seem like a stretch of something that they might do at some point in our
That's
lifetimes,
fair.
also,
That's fair.
though.
It just seemed like such a bizarre thing because he was like
Russia's
a
just ahead of
guy
us.
who
I
had no constituency, really. He's just
know.
like a guy who's paying military with Russia's money to like, and he's mad because Russia's being bad at war and they're not giving him the stuff he wants. And it's like, but he thought he was going to take over and do what? It's so weird. It was such a
I don't
weird
know.
story. It's not even that I like, I mean, it was like scary only because it's just like, what is even happening anymore out there? But more
I
so than
know.
being scary, it's sort of like the old, it's sort of end stage capitalism. So it's like, of course this happened. Like, what's next in, you know, in government, if not corporate governance in a direct way? Like, that's where
Sure.
we're headed. That's basically where we already are.
Sure.
But I just like didn't un like it was just such one of those confounding moments where you're like, I didn't know we had to worry about this.
I know. It's also like, you know, Russia loves a coup moment also.
That's so true.
So, you know, that was, you know, there was a lot of speculation as to, you know, like just, you know, conspiracy theories on Twitter, and like, look, I'm not here to shoot any of them down because I don't know. But like, you know, there was a lot of, oh, the Americans are behind it or this and that and who, and like any of those things completely possible. But also it like what I know about Russian history is that this felt, it had a very notably Russian feel to it. I mean,
That's
obviously
so
it was
true.
in Russian or Russia, so that makes sense. But I mean, like, it felt right for them
Yeah.
to have cooked this all up on their own, I
That's
guess.
so true. And I feel like it feels right that it was all in search of resurrecting the Soviet Union that this all happened. It's like the search for empire continues. And so I don't know why they need that or what the benefit really is. Once you're really wealthy, you already did it. You don't need more, that much more. It's, you know, it's, I feel like oligarchs, I'm kind of like confused as to why they don't ultimately just like give up because it's like, okay, well, now we have everything we could ever need. So
Right?
like what, who
They're
now, what,
killing it,
I
personally.
want more responsibility now? Like, of course not.
I
It sounds terrible to be in charge of Russia. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. So like, I don't know. It just seems crazy. But I mean, I think that all the time about people running for president, where I'm like, why would you
Well,
want this job?
I
And
know.
what is the benefit. You can make millions of dollars on a book deal
Right.
just by getting into the Senate. You don't have to become the president.
I
Like,
know. Well, and that's a great segue here, actually,
that's
because,
right.
you know,
You know who's looking for a book deal?
right. You would think at some point our segment that often kicks off the podcast of us announcing who is running for president would end. It has to at some point, right? But it doesn't end this
I don't
week.
believe it does have to.
I
I
don't think
no
it
longer
does.
believe it has to end.
Right. It certainly did not end this last week.
No, certainly did not.
Because Will Hurd, announced that he was running for president. And if you are wondering who Will Hurd is, we were too. So we learned a few things about him, but not that many things about him because we don't really care. We care.
I'm going to tell you right now everything I knew about Will Hurd prior to him finding out he was a GOP nominee. I knew he was a member of Congress at one time.
Yes, I did recognize his name.
I couldn't have told you what state he was from.
Yeah.
I could not have told you if he was tall or short. I could not have picked his face out of a lineup. I couldn't tell you what he stood for other than that I knew he was a Republican. I don't know whether he's like a Trump Republican or not. All of these things, I mean, I do now. But, you know, like there was not one detail other than his name.
Yeah.
And I felt in my heart that he was from Texas, but I don't know if that's true.
I might suggest to you, you may remain knowing none of those things when his run is over with.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, he's very anti-Trump. So, you know, I don't know what he thinks he's doing.
He thinks he's running.
Is from Texas. He's big mad about immigration.
Of course.
Obviously.
Well, he's from Texas.
He's from Texas. And his district did border. Because my first reaction was like, oh, maybe he's also just looking for a trip to the border, like that guy from whichever Dakota is running, who made one campaign promise and that it was just that he would go to Texas. But no, that's not it, because Will Hurd is from the border, apparently. So I don't know what his game is. Where's he? What free trip is he looking to get as president?
Maybe he doesn't even aspire to an exciting, maybe he's like, if his goals are that achievable and he just wanted a trip to the border from the border, then I feel like maybe he's not asking for much and we should just let him remain where he already is and claim he's running for president.
He did correctly address the potential scenario of a Donald Trump and Joe Biden rematch, because he called it a quote rematch from hell.
He's
got that much going for him. I guess.
I've been thinking a lot about this actually, because I was recently in upstate New York where I saw there's a lot of pro-Trump signs still up there because, you know, people haven't heard. And I saw one that used to be in front of a house that had like a ton of signs about how great Trump was. And it just said Biden and Harris suck. And I was like, yeah, like, I think we can all agree sort of on that broadly speaking. And I was kind of like, why haven't you pursued this line with me before? Because like, you're never going to get me to admit that Donald Trump is a good idea. So like, we're never going to find common ground there. If you want to talk about the failings of the Biden administration, I'm more than happy to. And I feel like that's an area where maybe we could really find something to work on together, you know?
Right.
But
our love of Donald Trump or hatred of Donald Trump.
Outside of our love.
We can leave that aside.
I think Donald Trump needs to be irrelevant to the conversation about whether Joe Biden would make a good president again. Because I was kind of like, this guy might have, you know, he kind of got me. I was like, this was the first time I saw a sign in front of his house that I was like, yeah. And like, listen, was the sign immediately after it a don't tread on me sign? And did I immediately lose interest in talking to him? Of course.
Yes.
You know, he's still on a learning journey when it comes to getting signs that aren't like immediately, you know, distracting to people who the signs are for. I can't imagine the signs are for other Trump supporters because it's like they already are doing it together. They're having bad ideas as a group already. They don't need any more of them. But I was kind of like, I don't understand why the Republican Party is arguing this line with us as if it's about Trump when they could be making it about Biden.
Well, and also I think, you know, you bring up an interesting point, and I don't, you know, I say this sort of to be funny, but also to offer like it as an actual point. But like, it seems like if there's large agreement across big portions of the country that both Joe Biden and Donald Trump are the worst.
That's right.
And maybe there's a different way.
I was going to say, maybe we could just talk about a different match between two different people that are neither of those guys.
I'm not suggesting I know what that way is, but it seems like it's out there.
Right. That way is not going to be Will Hurd. It's certainly not going to be Joe Manchin. But there's a way somewhere. Yeah. Or at least there's also, a different way to divide our politics so that they're just
Well, right, that's even more what I was suggesting as opposed to, like, actual candidates, but just sort of, like, things that we could talk about and ways to fix things that are outside of whether we love or hate either of those two.
I often think about the fact that in many ways, rhetorically, I find myself more aligned with like lunatics on the far right just because they're also populists and I have a populist streak, not a
Right.
right-wing
We're at least
populist
mad
streak.
about the same things.
We're mad about the
Right.
same
We
things. I don't know
don't
that
have the
we
same
yet have
solutions.
gotten to the right solutions together,
Right.
right? That's I, you know, but I think that a lot of this sort of anti-establishment fervor that you see on the right is actually something that I relate to on the left. And often feel alienated from the Democratic Party because of their lack of hatred for this sort of like, you know, bureaucratic slash kind of plutocratic establishment that actually controls everything, under which I would say Joe Biden certainly falls and Donald Trump is working on falling because he is essentially an oligarch, even though he's unsuccessful at business in a more true sense. Like he's fashioning himself after oligarchs. I think that's much more establishment than anti-establishment than I think he realizes or would admit to. But I feel like there's even I often think about the fact that just a change in the language that we use to discuss some of the issues we disagree on would find us with like bizarre bedfellows in a lot of, you know, policy areas at least. And I feel like why can't we use that to our advantage? And you know who won't be using that to his advantage? Will Hurd. Bring it
No.
back.
Or Rick
So that's not
Scott.
the third way I'm talking about. Or Rick Scott, who does this race need any more Floridians in it?
It does.
It's
Apparently.
America doesn't even need any more Floridians in it. Like this, it is so confounding to me that Florida has become the center of the Republican presidential primary in a way that I don't even think other Republicans trust Florida. Like, what is going on?
I know.
It's
Well, and
not
it's and,
promised
he
land of
didn't and just
conservatism.
to, and just to be clear, he didn't announce. There's
No,
just
no, no.
there's a lot of rumors that he is hinting that he might jump in late.
He's
And to
clearly
your point about Florida, it's
exploratory.
hilarious because the reason that like was floated as to why he's now thinking about it is because Ron DeSantis seems to be floundering. But like Ron DeSantis is still 50 points behind Donald Trump, who is also from Florida. So like this idea that like he needs to take up the mantle of a failing Florida governor because he's the ex-Florida governor. Like, to what? Also be 40 points behind Donald Trump? Like, it just doesn't it,
Funny,
I don't get it. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And also, like, Rick Scott, like, and I don't mean to imply that like Ron DeSantis is some sort of genius or anything, or any of these other Floridians or anyone in that entire GOP primary. But like Rick Scott, notable idiot. Rick Scott.
notable.
I mean, like, to the point where, like, he was allowed himself to be just mercilessly trolled by Joe Biden. And that is not something that, like, the Biden administration has been, like, classically good at. But, like, the reason that they trolled him is because Rick Scott, famously, is the probably the only thing that he's famous for is the person who was trying to make into law. When we were talking about budgets at some point or another, or the debt ceiling or something, that we were going to let all federal programs sunset after 5 years.
All of
You'll
them.
remember this had a news cycle for a moment. And
Yeah.
everybody was just sort of like, Social Security, maybe? And this was at the time when Republicans were being like, we're not touching Social Security. And yet they were like thinking about this bill from Rick Scott that was like gonna like just end all federal programs. And so he like got mercilessly trolled by Biden and ultimately changed it to not include those programs.
I
But like
mean,
still like he's not a thinking person, Rick Scott.
no, he's not a thinking person. He's been repeatedly elected to serve Floridians in various capacities, in to a degree that I think also indicates that they're not thinking people, and we should not be letting their poor taste dictate who gets to run for president. Yeah, it's an
But
embarrassment.
jump in.
Right. I mean, yeah, why not? And I also love the idea that everyone I mean, this happens to me every cycle, but like they always early on, everyone, you know, hitches their wagon to like one of the dumbest people in America and then is just like shocked when a month later the attention causes them to flounder. And like Ron DeSantis is like a person who, if you had been paying attention to him for more than 5 minutes, you would know he was an idiot. You would know that he was gonna eat himself alive as soon as he had the sort of cameras on him. Like, it was so obvious he was not presidential material
I was gonna
that
say,
the
yeah.
idea,
You
and we've
heard
been
that
talking
here
about
early
that.
too, friends, by the
Yes,
way. While everyone was, becoming terrified of a potential Ron
we said
DeSantis
to you, do
presidency.
not worry about Ron DeSantis. Don't even be thinking about him. If he resurges like way later in the
He
cycle
probably will.
No, but I mean, like, surges like late in the game on
Oh,
a
yeah.
on an issue that has changed the discourse.
Oh, I see.
Then
Right.
you
Yes,
will
of
hear us
course.
change our tunes,
Yeah.
but you will not at this point. That could happen to anyone, whether or not they've surged right now. So that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
anything could happen,
Yeah,
obviously.
right. I see what you mean.
Random
Yes, of
mercenary
course.
army guys just invading Russia. Like anything could happen. You
Right.
know, a pandemic kept us in our home for 3 years, and we don't know what the future is. But like, based on what we can know right now, there is literally no reason to have your eye on Ron DeSantis. So the
Yeah.
fact that so many Republicans are now like, well, if he's gonna flounder, it's like, of course he's gonna flounder. How he was always gonna flounder.
Yeah, he's a
You are also
flounderer.
gonna flounder. You're all flounderers. No one
Yeah.
currently who's in the race right now, besides Donald Trump, has not been a flounderer. So,
I
like,
know.
calm all the way down.
One thing I want to mention before we leave the presidential race, and I forgot when we were talking about Will Hurd, because one thing that Will Hurd, we talked about him being anti-Trump, but he said that he would not endorse Trump if he becomes the nominee. And we learned this week that that is actually becoming a huge sticking point because the first Republican debate is coming up soon. It's like in a month and a half. It's like the second week of August or
I
something like that. So
cannot
like
wait.
that's very excited. So like the RNC has put out what their criteria is for people to qualify for the debates, and it's similar to what you always get. You have to be at such and such a certain polls, and you have to have received donations from X number of states, and whatever. But one of them is that you have to pledge to endorse the winner of the primary, regardless of who it is. And various people have said that they're not going to, or have not committed to that. Obviously, Chris Christie has been saying that he's not going to endorse Trump. Some of these other people, Will Hurd, has said he's not going to endorse Trump. But you've also not heard Trump agree to this either. But he has
Right.
also talked about not going to these debates because, he thinks, why bother? And he's probably right to a certain degree anyway. But
Well, based
so
on
I think
there's a
it's going
lot
to
of
be
risk for him.
it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out and whether the RNC actually sticks to it and whether some of these like air quotes major candidates don't get to go because they don't commit to that pledge. I think they're gonna have to change it. Or what I have said is just like just commit to it
Yeah, right. And
and
then
then
violate
go.
it. Like
And
you guys
then
are so
when it's
principled
over,
that
just be
you
like,
I didn't mean
fuck
it.
that. I'm not
Yeah.
supporting this asshat. It's like it's not like some you're not gonna get thrown in jail if you
Right. You,
if
because you
you
lied to the RNC, like
it's
this
not binding in any sort of legal way.
knowing how unprincipled every single one of these people is, I don't know why they would have any qualms about just lying
I
about
know.
that.
I would lie about it and then
Don't
on
lie
the
about
debate
it.
stage say that I lied about
That's right. Yeah.
it.
In fact, that might get you the credibility you're looking
That's
for
what I'm
if you're
saying.
somebody
Yeah,
who's
right?
really flagging in the polls. Like I just, you know, that's a way to get your surge. You know how
Yeah.
everyone gets a surge.
Right. And that's what I thought you meant about DeSantis when you were talking,
Oh
when I
yeah.
said, I'm sure he will. Because, like,
Yes,
you'll
no,
remember from
exactly.
past one thing that you should watch out for. And I'm not saying any of these people are going to take over from Trump because he's 50 points ahead of everybody. But, like, there's going to be 13 people that are going to be in second place at some point over the span of the next year and a
And
half.
it's going to be like the momentum is unstoppable until it
That's right.
immediately stops, and then they
Right.
suddenly are polling at 2%, and you
Right,
don't know what
exactly.
happened.
It was
It's like
like,
everyone gets their moment when you haven't heard from them yet.
We were all convinced for a moment in time that Michelle Bachmann was going to be the president at some
Yeah.
point. So, like, just
That's,
remember that
think about
as
Ben
this.
Carson had a moment. Herman Cain had a moment. I mean, like where Scott Walker had a moment. It's
Yeah.
every single one of these people gets a moment.
Right.
You know who never had a moment? Jon Huntsman.
Oh, he really didn't, and he was supposed to be the guy, wasn't
Yeah, all that motorcycle riding and that
he? Mm.
the Mormon good looks
Being
and
cool.
being cool with his leather jacket and his hair. It's
Oh
But
my
I mean, like
gosh.
some supremely unqualified people who are also not readily distinguishable from anyone else. I mean, you know, Herman Cain died in a dramatic and disastrous fashion at the hands of Donald Trump. So
Yeah,
he,
Donald
I
Trump killed him,
remember,
yeah.
you know, Donald Trump killed him. Like Ben Carson said numerous ridiculous things at Michelle Bachmann as well. Like they were memorable in their way. There's like a herd of like indistinguishable, evil, like angry white men who also surged at some point,
Oh,
and
yeah,
they
for
surged
sure.
so briefly that you don't and said nothing during that time. You don't even remember. You couldn't have even named all of them.
Rick
Like
Santorum darn
Rick
near won the
Santorum.
Republican
That's
primary
right.
in 2012.
I was just thinking, I was like, you know who Scott Walker makes me think of is Rick Santorum because they look identical. And then there's like, I mean, Rick Perry had a moment and he's like
All
an
right.
actual live idiot. Like, I
Yes.
mean, when you think about some of the people that have gotten moments in these Republican primaries,
I know.
that's It's astonishing that
It really is.
anything has.
Oh, boy. Oh my gosh. The girls are girling in
Oh my
Congress
God,
right
you
now.
guys.
Marjorie and Lauren.
This there is something so satisfying about the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert have like emerged for in this season of television as hating each other. Like there's those
This
like
season of
new
television.
sworn enemies.
I
Like,
know. It really is like a warm hug to the soul to just know those
yeah.
two deeply hate each other and are willing to scream at each other on the house floor and call each other little bitches and whatever else it is that they're doing.
Yeah.
It just brings a lot of joy in an
Yeah.
otherwise sorrowful
Sorry.
world.
And then, so this week, I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene called Lauren Boebert a little bitch to, I think to somebody else. I think she's talking to like Matt Gaetz or somebody like that. But it was because they were mad about who was going to get credit for the articles of impeachment against Joe Biden that they were all trying to work on.
Listen, the answer to that question, ladies, is no one is going to get
Yes,
credit for that. The answer is
exactly.
no one.
And also that no one should want credit. So like don't even worry about it. But they had apparently independently drawn up their own articles of impeachment, which I'm sure were filled with lots of factual statements and other important sober considerations. And then they got mad at each other because they had, I guess, not coordinated on this matter very much, and also because they're both sociopaths who need sole credit for everything. And then got into a screaming match on the House floor. And apparently the little
There's
bitch
video.
comment,
I mean, it
I
doesn't
was going to
look
say, is
that
not
like
the
you can
only.
tell that they're animated. Like you can't hear it, obviously, and it's not. But I mean, like you can, it's out there if you
I
want
have a friend who works on the Hill who was like, I heard that there's a lot more to that conversation that's distressing besides the little bitch comment, but I don't have the details yet. I was like, well, please keep me updated.
Please.
Like,
Oh my
so
gosh.
that's pretty exciting and a real satisfying win for America.
And one thing that is interesting that is sort of related to this that there's been discussion of this week is that the Freedom Caucus is apparently considering expelling some members. And they didn't say specifically who, but it seems for all the world like they are talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene because, you know, she has taken a little bit of a different route than a lot of the other Freedom Caucus members, where she has sort of aligned herself with Kevin McCarthy and I think is sort of like more interested in power, access to power. You know,
Yeah.
than some of these other people who are sort of existing on the margins who just sort of like want to, you know, scream into the void. So it's interesting that they are thinking about doing that. And I am here for it, mainly
Yes.
because I am looking for the Congressional Progressive Caucus to start doing
Exactly.
the same thing. But honestly, though,
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's like a, you know, saying it to be ridiculous, but also like, why do these groups exist if there isn't some sort of like binding principles that they are supposed to be operating under as
It makes
members
it
in
impossible
Congress?
for them to pursue any action. Like one thing
Right?
that the Freedom Caucus has historically been very successful at is pursuing cockamamie actions that help nobody and don't make a lot of
Yeah.
sense. But they do it in a really unified and organized
They
way.
do.
And I wish that the CPC could pursue
I
action
know.
with that
I
spirit.
know. I think that the CPC would be more effective if instead of allowing literally all 200 and some members of the Democratic caucus, which is essentially what has happened, basically
Right.
all
Yeah, it's
Democrats
like Adam
in the
Schiff
House are
does not
members of the
belong on the
company. It's like
CPC.
over 100 or something. I think it would be much effective if they kicked out literally three quarters of them and got it down to like 50 members that actually moved together on things.
Right, because that's a powerful voting block in Congress. You can't actually
Majorly.
whip votes with like 100 billion people in your caucus who don't actually agree to any of the things you stand for. So like that's why, Adam Schiff is a perfect example because he only he's not actually himself in favor of Medicare for all, but he sort of vaguely signed on to the idea of it in order to be, in order to appeal to his voters.
Would
But when
most
if it
certainly vote it down if
would
it ever appeared on the
never vote
floor.
for it,
No.
never. But it would be really exciting if 50 people could withhold votes on something that actually moved healthcare conversation and healthcare policy forward. And they can't do that with someone like Adam Schiff, who's on principle the one of the more conservative members of Congress, when it comes to actually like how he's going to vote on the issues that the CPC focuses on, he's incredibly conservative. But and he can say to his heart's content that he's willing to co-sponsor a bill that's never going to fucking happen for Medicare for all. Like you can co-sponsor any bill that's never going to happen that you want to. It's a messaging bill and has nothing to do with anything. It would be nice if they could take actions instead of just releasing messaging bills that mean nothing and are purposely designed to not be passable, because they are purposely designed to be missing critical information that members would look for in order to actually decide if they are going to make a meaningful vote on that policy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's rude.
So anyway, Freedom Caucus, get at it. Start kicking people out. Kick out Marjorie Taylor Greene. Let's see what happens.
Also, she called one of the your other beloved members a little bitch on video.
Well,
so,
yeah,
like,
right.
Kick her out because she's rude.
Kick her out because she's rude. Exactly. We found out who paid the $500,000 bail bond to, you know, for George Santos this week.
Nobody interesting.
But it's sort of interesting.
Okay.
Because I feel like, well, I mean, I just think that there's questions, because I'm like, it was it was his dad and his aunt who seemed as though maybe they wouldn't have had that amount of money.
But, and like,
I mean,
this
I'm not
the kind
here
of bail
to,
bond where
I'm
you
not
don't
here to
have
judge
to
how
pay
much
it.
Money they have, but you're not right.
You just,
correct.
They're not like, no cash was exchanging hands,
no.
But you do have to have some kind of collateral towards a $500,000 bail. What assets did they have?
Well, and they don't have property, because we found that out as part of this. So it is interesting what they are using there. But like, as family, essentially my favorite detail of this, like, yes, you're right in the sense that like we were hoping that it was going to be some sort of like, you know, nefarious, you know, Republican billionaire that we all knew the name of or something like that, which we
which
didn't
by
get,
the way
unfortunately.
It definitely is, because it's not his dad.
Right. I know. Yeah, the collateral is his dad's, you know, personal phone calls to you know,
billionaires. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But anyway, the judge basically was like, you don't have collateral, so you're going to have to sort like the judge made it very clear to the family that like they are on the hook for this. And so that they should be mindful of his behavior. And they said that they should try and exercise, quote, moral control over George Santos. They said there's a danger if he doesn't comply with any of the conditions of bond. First of all, it's a danger to him. He will and can be incarcerated. But more importantly for you two, talking to his dad and his aunt, you're signing a bond that makes you two financially responsible. So it's not just about feeling badly about this. This is a bond in the amount of $500,000. And she goes on, it's about how well you know someone, whether you can exercise a certain amount of control or moral control over the person so that they understand what you were doing for them. And I'd advise you to give him a call today. Tell him that you came in, that you signed it, and you're watching. Which
is
like
mess.
Is a total mess, but like also clearly the judge nor his dad and his aunt have met George Santos or been reading the news over the span of the last year and a half.
No, it sounds like maybe the judge has, and that his dad and aunt were being lectured about how dumb a decision they were making by the judge.
Yes, actually, I think that's more what it is. You've correctly identified.
Yeah. Like the judge is like, you guys, this is dumb. Just FYI, before I allow you to go through with this, I just want to be clear that you're making a very dumb choice.
Right.
And they were like, no, yeah, no, we'll do it.
Right. But but imagine, you know, being on the hook for $500,000.
If George to make George
to,
Santos
and
act
to
right.
Exercise moral control over George Santos, friends.
That's not that's a deal you don't take. That's a bad deal.
That is a person with no morals, no scruples.
Yeah. Let him rot in jail. Save your $500,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh God.
That sense. And now onto no labels. An update.
Yeah, another
update
thing
we're waiting for.
Right. Another thing where I thought maybe at some point we'd be done talking about no labels.
We're never going to be done talking about no labels. Don't worry about that. Don't
don't
listen to Brent when he says that. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I know. So now's the segment where we give you the weekly update on what no labels is up to. We've been talking about them a lot lately. This is the apparently not political party, which is an important part of the story that might be trying to recruit Joe Manchin to run for president in 2024.
You could knock me over with a feather at that, because we've been referring to them explicitly as a political party for this entire time because they are talking about running a candidate for president. But continue.
Right. Well, the thing that's going on that people are now sort of asking questions about them, right? We've been talking about them a lot. They've been talking about Joe Manchin. They were getting asked about, what did we talk about? How stupid they were last week? Oh, they made some statements about like how they would step back if Biden was ahead, right? And so like they're out in the world and they're talking specifically about running candidates and what their you know, what their strategy would be, you know, depending on what the race is looking like. And so people are starting to ask questions about who their funders are, because obviously, as we know, political campaigns have to make that information public, right? Well, because they are not technically a political party, they are skirting some of these issues by having their main entity be a nonprofit.
Of course they are.
Of course they are. So they've been getting asked about this, and nobody from the group is willing to say at all who their funders are. Their CEO, Nancy Jacobson, declined to do so, and she simply said that it was a, quote, mixed pool of individual contributors, including, quote, people who want to help our country. And then Ryan Clancy, I think, said something even more notable, because he is their chief strategist, and he got asked about it, and he said, we know how the game is played these days, which is, if people don't like our organization, what's the easiest way to destroy it? Well, go find the donor list and go start intimidating them in their place of work and harassing them on social media. So, like, he, I think, sort of, like, tacitly acknowledged that, like, we're not gonna like what we see when we find their donor group. I don't think he's so much worried about them being harassed at their place of business as he is the press printing their names and then us knowing that, like, they're being funded by some shenanigans, which is obvious that that's, I mean, it was started by Joe Lieberman. So, like, obvious, there's only deplorables donating to this group. Like, I think that's a safe assumption that we can all make.
Straight shenanigans.
Yeah. But, like, this was reported by Politico, and they talked to a bunch of, you know, experts in campaign finance, and they were like, they are walking right up to the line of what is permissible on this. And there were a few actually that said that it was possibly already illegal. And one of the experts said, if they're going around naming potential candidates and somebody donates in response to that, that clearly presents legal concerns.
Which is what they're doing, right?
They haven't specifically said Joe Manchin, but it's being floated, right? So they're like, it's being floated by them, obviously, because who else would be floating it? I mean, Joe Manchin himself is floating it, but, like, which is, again, if he's being floated as running for no labels, even if it's him that's floating it himself, like, that would be enough to, like, so, like, if somebody is like, oh, I would really like that Joe Manchin to be president, I don't know who these fucking people are, but, like, if they think that to themselves and then go donate to no labels, that's a legal problem. It's hard to prove that that's what people are doing, I suppose, probably. But, like, you know,
but also, aren't they worried that once they actually do declare a candidate, that all of this information will come out eventually? Like,
I don't know. Part of
the reason you release this information proactively is to get that out of the news cycle by the time you actually start talking about your
candidate. Well, I assume what they probably do is then, like, keep the nonprofit entity, and then start a separate organization that, like, is the actual campaign that has a candidate that they're running. I mean, I would assume that there will continue to be ways that they can skirt this, just because our campaign finance laws are shit in this country, as we well know.
They should split off that entity right now.
It's a little surprising that they've gotten themselves into this place, because, like, while I hate everyone involved here, this seems like the type of nefarious work that they would be better at doing.
And that's what I keep finding with Republican organizations and schemes in general. I feel like this is like the Trump campaign stuff, where you're like, I don't know, they're dealing with millions of dollars and they're literal professional fraudsters. Like, how are they this bad at frauding? Because they get caught every time.
Right, I know.
They're professional criminals. I don't understand why. Right. This is a little bit like an emperor has no clothes, billionaires at the bottom of the sea conversation, where it's just like, is it possible that A, billionaires aren't smarter than the average person and are in many cases dumber?
Yeah.
And B, that a lot of people that you think of as legal and political masterminds are actually just not.
Yeah. Well, two of these billionaires right now are trying to have a literal cage match. So I think that might be the proof, additional proof that we're looking for.
Right.
And we're not actually looking for additional proof, because we have enough of it that no more is needed.
It's nothing but proof out here. It's not even like the kind of proof that you have with Trump, where you just, like, know in your heart what happened and no one is admitting to it, or only he's admitting
to it. They're just, like, doing it. They're performing it for us.
They're performing it for us without us having to do any projection. So it's, like, just easy to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it is, though, you guys. Sunday in America.
Well, friends, I know. Look forward to next week hearing about what No Labels is up to and what other people that you haven't heard of have decided to run for president.
That's right. And until that time, have a happy Pride.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.